Come and see what everyone's talking about.
La ilaha illallah.
Peace be unto you. Assalamu alaikum. Welcome to the Deen Show. I'm Eddie, your host. And today, we're going to be giving you the top five reasons, proofs. Let's back it up a little bit. You've already gotten sick of all the Hollywood and Bollywood, the rated R movies, and going to the nightclubs, and you've attained so much money, or you couldn't make the money, or you got a position, you lost the girl, you lost the all this other drama and dilemmas of life, and you said there's got to be more. There's got to be a purpose to life. So you went from this ism to that ism. You studied all the world religions, and now you finally came to Islam. And the bedrock of Islam is calling you to. You want to accept Islam, and hopefully, God willing, at the end of the show, you're going to accept Islam. You already accept what's in your very nature, intrinsically embedded in you, that there's only one God. Not four, three, and one, one and three, and God being a man, and the sun, and all these other things. God everywhere, and you and me, and we're all God. Now, this all this nonsense, below, the things just don't make sense. It's not adding up. One is one, and you keep it at one. And you only worship the one who created you, the same God of Jesus, Moses, Abraham, and the last and final messenger of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. They all worship the one God. And that's the first part of accepting Islam, that you negate all the false gods. You say that there's no God except the one God, the creator of all that exists. In Arabic, Allah. Jesus spoke Aramaic. He said, Allah. And then you testify the same way that you would during Jesus' time, if you were living, that Jesus was the messenger of God. During Moses' time, that Moses is the messenger of God. And now, during our time, there's no God except the one true God, the creator of all that exists. And Muhammad is the messenger, the final prophet sent by God. No more messengers to come. But how do you know that he was indeed a messenger? That's what we're going to be covering in this week's show. We're going to be giving you the top five proofs that he indeed was. So after the show, you can take that step, the necessary step that you need to take to become one who submits to God, a Muslim, when we come back here in the Deen Show. Sit tight.
This is the Deen Show.
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 Assalamu alaikum, peace be with you.
Alaykum assalam, look at me, peace be unto you too.
Now we're wishing peace upon each other. We start with peace, you know, but many people don't have peace. They're frustrated in life. They got money, but peace is something that you can't buy. You cannot buy a six-pack of peace. So how do you get peace, Shaykh?
A peace of mind is when you're actually a twinkle with one self and one God. And that's what God Almighty actually mentioned in the Quran. This is what the peace, how to attain, ever bi dhikrillah. تَطْمَئِنُّ الْقُلُوبِ By the remembrance of God Almighty, that your heart is at ease. And certainly, inshallah, you will find peace with Islam.
So when you know the purpose of life, you know why you've been created, where you came from, where you're going when you die, and is this how you can have that peace? This is...
Of course.
By answering these questions?
Yes, God Almighty actually gives you the answer to the questions. He's the only one that gives you the answer to the questions before you're tested. And He tells you when and where and how and so on. Nobody else on the face of the earth doesn't tell you the answer to the question for your test, and so on. As a matter of fact, you can seal it. But God Almighty is most merciful, most beneficent, and loves us so much that He tells us, here's what you're going to be tested on, and here are the answers to the questions, subhanAllah. So He tells you, وَمَا خَلَقْتَ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ I have not created the jinn and the ins except to worship me. And how worship me, of course, is that you live your whole life according to the Quran and Sunnah and the one that created you, for the simple fact that if you buy a car, you get it with a manual. And it tells you, here's what to do, here's what not to do. So if somebody created a car, or invented a car, what happens? If it tells you to put the gas here, the oil here, and the water here. He says, no, I don't think you know what you're talking about. Let's put the gas here, the water here, and the oil here. How far is the car going to run? Not very far. So we're supposed to go back to our own manual, our own creator, that knows what's best for us, and follow Islam. You'll find peace, inshallah, in this life and hereafter.
We know that Islam, total submission to the one God, the same way of life of all the messengers of God, the Quran is the verbatim word of God. We know these facts. It's not fiction. And Islam provides all the rational, logical proofs for anyone who takes a scientific, analytical approach and prays to the one God, not to a man or a woman, but the creator of man and woman, that God will guide them. And through looking at all these proofs, they will come to know that this is indeed from the creator of the heavens and the earth. So I'm very excited because we're going to get into the top five proofs, starting from 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, that the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, was indeed a messenger of God. The first part is pretty easy because it's in their very nature to only worship the one God, not to worship a man or the sun or anything in creation. They can understand that. Coming from all these other religions that, you know, mix God with his creation, make a man to God and worshiping a woman or man or this or that, the sun, the moon, worshiping things that came into existence. God didn't come into existence. He's the sole creator, so we only worship him. But now the other part is, was Prophet Muhammad a messenger of God? So we want to give these evidences, and we're going to go in chronological order from 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. So at the end, God willing, we're going to have some people saying the Shahada. They're going to, inshallah, do what's in their very nature, testify to this truth. So let us start with number 5 of the 5 proofs that Muhammad, peace be upon him, was indeed like Jesus was, Moses, Abraham. They were all messengers, and he was the last and final messenger. Start with number 5, please.
Number 5. First of all, if you put somebody on the stand, and of course Prophet Muhammad is not on the stand, but we're just talking hypothetically now just to prove a case. If somebody goes to court, we have to call on the witnesses. So let's call on the witnesses. But we're not going to call the witnesses that you think. We call the witnesses first as his enemies.
Oh, so we're not calling his mother or, you know, what they call his father or his best friends, people who know. We're calling on his enemy.
Right.
Go ahead.
Yeah, let's start with the enemies because al-shahada man tashhadu bihi al-a'da'u, the true one, says even your staunch enemies will testify for you. So what was he known for? His enemies actually used to call him Sadiq al-Wa'd al-Amin, the trustworthy one, the truthful one. Amazingly enough, even in Hercules, the time that caught one of the people from his tribe because he saw a vision and thought there would be a messenger coming from that, so he actually talked to him. Some of the people told him, he says, do you have anyone that coming from his tribe or anyone that coming close to him that was in touch with him? They found Abu Sufyan. It was at the time of the merchant. He caught him and says, sit here. And he told them that these people from your own tribe, they will sit behind you and they will tell me if you're actually not telling me the truth. And of course, Abu Sufyan, radiallahu anhu, he was not a Muslim then, but of course was one of the honorable tribe and the honorable society. And he said he didn't like him. Then he started to look for certain faults. He couldn't find anything. He says, well, he does 1, 2, 3, and they were all good. Yes, he tries to do good, and he asked him some questions. He asked him certain questions. He says, anyone in the Arab Peninsula called for being a prophet before? He says, no.
Did anyone make this claim before?
Claim before. So the king says, if it was, maybe he was imitating someone. So he says, did his own lineage, or the ancestors, or fathers or forefathers actually were kings of these areas? He said, no. He said, if he was, he would have been claiming his own kingdom back.
Yes.
And he says, and so on. So he says, what type of people they're actually following? He says, the poor. Is such were the prophets. And he says, do they increase or they decrease? He says, they increase. He says, such are the prophets. He says, do the people do it because they're forced or because they love? He says, because they're convinced, as such as prophets. These were the people that are not actually Muslim. This man was his enemy. He could have lied and he could have done, but he was actually telling the truth because there was none. He found a very minor thing. He says, but we will see in the future. It wasn't there yet. He says, this is the only thing that I can actually look for. Now the people actually that and we will talk about a few things a little bit later, I won't jump the gun here, but that's the first, just to quickly cover a few things because the time will not allow us to go into more details. Now let's find some more witnesses. We've taken some of his enemies that actually used to call him, that used to entrust him with the most worldly important decision. We'll talk about it a little bit later. Everyone knew that he did not lie. So when he says that was he known to be a liar? He says, no. He says, wallahi, by God, he would not lie, he would not be truthful to people and lie upon Allah, upon God Almighty. If he was known to be truthful, how could he be being truthful with people and not being truthful with God Almighty? Other witnesses to take that one to bed. He says that now himself, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam on certain miracles he's done, like he fed a whole army with very little food. He heard some of the animals. The moon when it split, and these people actually saw these things. Even in China and India, they've done that. They've seen the moon split. It wasn't the people that he had magic or spells over the people that were there, because others actually saw these things. When he had a beautiful way to say that the dates were overflowing. Last things, and so many others, and the water actually came from under his knees, and the rivers of run and water to quench the whole army. He says, "Ashhadu anni Rasulullah." At that time, he says, "I testify that I'm a messenger of God." Above all of the testimonies is Allah, God Almighty Himself. He says, "Wallahu yashhadu innaka Rasulullah." God Almighty testifies that you are His messengers. So these are just a sample of the testimonies that the people come and stand and say, "Who is this man?" And he is the messenger of Allah subhanahu wa jalla fi ala.
So before we go to break, the first man was Heracles. He was a known figure in history. The people can go check. This is a man who existed. And there were people at that time that we have a chain of narrations that are testifying to what you just said.
Absolutely. And Abu Sufyan is the one that actually testified to that.
And then him testifying himself by all these miracles that he did. And we're not flaunting about these miracles, but those miracles were witnessed by hundreds of his companions that we have a chain of narrations to.
Absolutely.
And then God Almighty Himself in the verbatim Word of God is testifying to this in a book that's tamper-free, tamper-proof, has been preserved. We have it today. Anyone wants to take a look? That's number five.
That is number five, the testimony.
So we recap in this, only number five. We got four more to go. Don't go nowhere.
Okay, you've got your dream home and you've got your dream car, but you're going to get old and things are going to happen to you in your life. And then what have you got? At the end of the day, it's an empty dream that has no real foundation. We are going to die and we're going to meet our Lord, and He is going to judge us.
It becomes an obligation for each single human being to find out what the Quran is. Islam is telling us to stay away from things which are bad for your person and bad for the society.
Killing of innocent human beings. Human life is precious.
Back here on the Deen Show with Sheikh Ala, and we're talking about the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. We believe, as over 1.5 billion people do, that he wasn't a son of God, the right hand of God. He didn't have divinity. We don't worship Muhammad, but he was indeed a messenger of God, the same way Jesus, Moses, Abraham, they all were messengers of God, and they brought the same message. Worship the Creator, not His creation, and follow the messengers. So go ahead and continue with number four of the top five that indeed proves that Muhammad, peace be upon him, was indeed a messenger of God. Take it away, number four.
Number four is what we're talking about, the message. What was his message? So you have to cross-reference, what was he calling for? Was he calling people to say, worship me, give me all your money, or vote for me, or anything else? No. His message was very simple. Worship the one and only God. Because people right there and then, they actually had 360 idols that they used to worship. For 13 years in Mecca, the Meccan era, he simply says, قُولُوا لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهَ تَفْلَحُوا. Say there's only one God so you may prosper. You take that simple message that there's only one God and you cross-reference it with every other prophet and messenger before him, you will find out it actually falls in line with every prophet and messenger. There's only one God. Worship him. Do this to go to heaven, and don't do this so you can stay away from the hellfire. So we ask people, what is it exactly that you don't like about this message? Or what makes him not a messenger if he simply tells people to worship God Almighty? Nothing, absolutely nothing in it for him. As a matter of fact, people came up to him and he said, listen, stop saying there's only one God who will kill you. That didn't work. Or stop saying there's one God if you're after money will make you the richest man alive. That didn't work. And people came in and said, if you stop saying there's only one God, if women you're after will give you all the women you want. Absolutely not.
They're trying to bribe him now.
Absolutely.
With women, with money, with power.
Sure.
He didn't accept none of it.
None. And he says, if you want to be our king, we will make you our king. If it's power you're after, we will give you the power. If it's voodoo that you have, we will give you the best exorcist. If it's an illness that you have, we'll get you the best doctors. He listened, as you will see later on, how he listened. He says, are you finished? Even though the prophetic tradition is weak, we understand that. But the seerah is not dealt with accordingly to the ahkam or the rulings. So he says, if you put the sun in my right hand and the moon in my left hand, I will not stop saying there's only one God or die for it. So he wasn't after his own whims and desires. As a matter of fact, he died as a poor man. May peace and blessings of God Almighty be unto him. And he could have been the richest man. He could have had everything. And of course, people have so many things to accuse or abuse. Inshallah, hopefully we can give you that. The knowledge of the proper way of who Prophet Muhammad, may peace be upon him, was. So the number four is for the simple fact that is the message. What is this message? Is that for the simple fact that is only one God. He coincides with everybody else before him. As a matter of fact, comes back and rectifies what was misinterpreted or diverted or led astray before him. Go back to the original. The message was very simple. There's only one God. Worship him. And that coincides and in line with every prophet and messenger and makes sense. And he received it, of course, from the archangel Gabriel. So the message was very simple, straightforward. There's only one God, which makes him a prophet.
Five, four, take it away with three. Go ahead.
Number three. Now we talked about the message. Now let's cross-reference now. What is the actual message? The message came from the Quran. So the Quran, because every prophet and messenger has a miracle to prove their, you know, his messenger, then the prophet, and so on. So we take a look at the Quran in itself. For every prophet has a messenger. So like we say, Moses, may peace be upon him, had the miracle of the staff, because at the time the people liked magic and so on. However, and Isa alayhi salam, may peace be upon him, Jesus, may peace be upon him, also had the miracle of medicine, because at that time it pertained to these type of people and they were into that type of thing.
Yes.
But when God Almighty challenged the Arabs, because the language was their strength, they actually used to teach people poetry. And he says, a man came up to him, he says, I can't remember how many rak'at, how many units of prayer to do. So the man came up to him, he says, listen, I'll give you a poem. You will understand. He says, "Inna salata arba'un fa arba', thumma thalathun yatba'un arba', thumma salata al-fajr la tudayya." He says, four, then three, then four, then two. He got it for a poetry. And they were challenged with their own, because they were used to boast about how eloquent they are and the genius of the language and the science of the language that they had under belt. So God Almighty said, actually, that there's here is this book that is going to be in your own language. Alif Lam Mim. Alif Lam Mim. These are the letters that this book is made of. ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابِ. Here is the book. هُدًى لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. Guidance to those who have piety or conscious of God. So God Almighty challenged them in their own field. That God Almighty actually told them in that Quran, which is a live language. We have the original. We never lost it. It was memorized, written at the time of the life of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. No one can deny the fact that we do not differ upon it. And we have the miracles, and we talked about the scientific miracles of it, and so many others. And I heard this from Sheikh Khalid Yassin, Zallahu Khaira, once. To prove to you, from this fact, that we actually memorize this, preserved as Allah, as God Almighty, has promised to preserve the Quran. He said that if all denominations or all ways of life or all religions agreed to throw all the scriptures, all the divine scriptures in the ocean.
To just get rid of them.
Get rid of them. We all agreed to get rid of all the divine scriptures. Which is the only one book that will come back to life and immediately? The only answer is the Quran. Because we memorize it off by heart. No one can differ upon it. And this is something that we do from the very early stages. And whether you speak Arabic or not, the people actually memorize the Quran. So no one can actually defy that. The actual miracle of the Quran in itself, that has the news from what the past, how to live your life in the present, and what will come in the future. And that message we talked about, the oneness of God Almighty, is actually one-third of the Quran. One-third of the Quran. So when the people say that, what is the message of the Quran? The oneness of God is one-third of it. And when people say that this Quran, it comes from satanic verses, amazingly enough, when I have these people coming into the center, when I have these tours, I tell them, okay, let's go with that. Let's go with the idea that, وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ, we seek refuge in God from that. It's, you know, satanic verses you've heard. Okay, Satan is the author of the Quran. So that's interesting, because in the Quran it says, when you read the Quran, تَقَرَتْ قُرْآنَ فَاسْتَعِذْ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ. When you recite the Quran, seek refuge in God from Satan the rejected. Could you imagine, Satan is the author of the book. It says, before you read my book, seek refuge in God from me. And oh, I forgot to mention a few things. If you follow me, you go straight to hell. Oh yes, I am your worst enemy. Go ahead, buy my book. Imagine that's the case when people actually say that these are satanic verses. Or the other ones that says that it is Muhammad that wrote the book. Amazing. Don't you know that actually Prophet Muhammad, may peace be upon him, did not know how to read or write? Surprise. Interestingly enough, that Prophet Muhammad, may peace be upon him, did not know how to read or write. Ummi. Ummi was that actually comes from the mother, the word umm. He was that, taught by that nature, primal instinct. He was not taught. And these people accuse him for actually taking over from others. As a matter of fact, we know that the Bible has been translated on the 18th century. It wasn't at the time of the Prophet Muhammad, may peace be upon him. Just in case that people think that he was actually trying to copy wholesale from the Bible. And not to mention that these verses, there's a very challenging verses, as we talked about it before. And the Quran in itself has a challenge of people that stands the test of time. There was a challenge at the time of revelation that God Almighty says, believe it or not, to the uncle of Prophet Muhammad, may peace upon him, that he will not become a Muslim. Even then, he knew that for years while he was alive, he could have simply said, well, guess what? I want to become a Muslim. What do you think of your Quran now? He didn't. And of course, there are other ones, other miracles of the Quran that actually testified, that says, غُلِبَتُ الرُّوم. They were right there. The Roman were actually beaten. It says that God Almighty says, وَمِن بَعْدَ غَلَبِهِمْ سَيَغْلِبُونَ. And after the being defeated, they will be victorious. فِي بَضْعِ سَنِينَ. A few years. So these were miracles on hand. They are testified. And again, God Almighty gave the people a challenge. As we mentioned previously, he says, listen, if you want to prove this book is not from God Almighty, you do this. If you do this, file this book under G, وَلِيَادَ بِاللَّهِ. And he gives you another challenge. You will never be able to do this with the Quran. Since you will never be able to do this, فَاتَّقُوا النَّارَ الَّتِي stay away from the Quran. So this is one verse, or one chapter, or two chapters, and the test still stands up till now.
This is God Almighty, the Creator, speaking.
Absolutely.
Offering a challenge to mankind.
Right.
So we went from 5, 4, 3, we got 2 and 1 left. Don't go nowhere. Right? We give you the 5 top reasons why Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, is indeed a messenger from the Creator of the heavens and earth. Sit tight.
Death and the Day of Judgment, the mercy of Allah, these are the things that finally made me realize there is no time to delay anymore. I wanted to take my Shahada right then.
The essence of spirituality is to become more sincere to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, contemplate death itself. It is very, very scary, but it brings you back to reality. There is a life which is everlasting in the hereafter. And you have to make a conscious decision of which group of people do you want to be of, the people of heaven or the people of hell.
Allahu Akbar. Back here on the Deen Show, top 5 reasons why Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, is indeed a messenger of God. There is no God worthy of worship except the one God, the one creator of all that exists. And as we said, if you're living during Jesus' time, he was a messenger of God. You had to testify that he was your teacher, a messenger, teaching you how to get close to God. You didn't worship him or pray to him, nor did you do that to any of the messengers, right? So we don't worship Muhammad, but indeed we follow his teachings the same way we'd have followed Jesus' Moses, Abraham's teachings. But he's the last and final messenger, so we're giving you the proofs so you will know that he is indeed a messenger of God. Went from 5, 4, 3. Please take it away with number 2.
Okay, speaking of that message, even Prophet Muhammad says, لَا تَطْرُونِي. Do not boast about me, but say about me that I am. Do not say that I am the Son of God or God incarnate or divine or so on. I am a human being just like you. The difference is I receive revelations. Now, where the topic we're talking about now, number 4, is akhlaq, moral conduct, behavior, etiquettes, manners. God Almighty testifies. In the Quran, he says, gives him this beautiful medal of honor. Is وَإِنَّكَ لَعَلَىٰ خُلُقٌ عَظِيمٌ. Indeed, you are the best of moral conduct, behaviors. Because we have to walk the talk. Every human being is there's a measuring stick. And God Almighty says that he is the best of moral conduct. As a matter of fact, he says, I am sent to complete the best of moral conduct, and so on. One of the reasons that we have to do this cross-reference is to cross it from the book where God Almighty testifies that he is. His message was this. The Quran says do these things. It's all about enjoining good and forbidding evil. How to be the best human beings. That even so, some of the scholars says that the acts of worship in the Quran actually to give you a better moral conduct. And for example, the fasting is actually to talk about taqwa, give you la'allakum tattaqoon. The salah is ward off evil. The zakah is to teach you to give, to heal you from the illness of the hoarding, the silver and gold, the illness of the heart. And being in hajj, it teaches you patience. So you understand that every aspect of our worship is to become a better human being. So Prophet Muhammad is the best of creations. So he walked the talk. And how was it then if when Prophet Muhammad, may peace be upon him, when people wanted to kill him, even though they did not believe in his message, they still trusted with him with the most worldly possession, the most expensive one. Even though that he knew about it, you and I, asking you brothers and sisters out there now, put yourself in that position. If somebody wants to kill you, but you have something of their own, what would you do? I'm pretty sure you say, don't you know who you're talking to? You want to mess with me? And so on. No, I've confiscated your stuff. But it wasn't for Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because he was the best of creation. He says, Ya Ali, his cousin, he says, you stay here. But when you wake up in the morning, you give them back their rightful owners. And he taught us, La takhun man khan, do not betray those who betray you. Be good to those who are bad to you. Give those who deprive you. Reach for those who cut you off. And so on. As a matter of fact, he was the lead in so many moral conduct and ethics that he had a young girl that he wanted to come and join him in to witness a war. And he actually, after the war, he was looking for someone. This young girl is actually narrating this prophetic tradition. And he says, as if he was looking for me, and he had this qalada, this beautiful necklace, as the spoils of war. And she ran to him and says, here I am, a messenger of Allah, alayhi salatu wasalam. And he said, he put that on her own. He says, by Allah, I will never take this necklace from my own neck anymore. And she put in her will that she wanted to be buried with this necklace. And on judgment day, she wants to run to him and says, Ya Rasulullah, O Messenger of Allah, alayhi salatu wasalam, can you remember me? I am the one that you put this necklace. You see how he actually talked to the young. How he actually had a young boy called Umair. And he had a bird called Nughair. And he actually used to talk to him, Ya Umair, how is a Nughair, this bird? One day he saw him crying. He stayed with him. What happened? He's met a Nughair. The Nughair, that bird, died. He stayed with him to leave him with a smile on his face as he saw him with a tear in his eyes. I understand there's so much to share on the comes to akhlaq, but even though when a man promised to meet him at a certain time because he wanted to keep a covenant and be truthful to others, after 2 days he waited for him, he says, At'abtani, I waited for you, and so many others. We cannot comprehend the amount of moral conduct that Prophet Muhammad, may peace be upon him, was known for, how to deal with human beings, not only human beings, even animals and every others. May best be inshallah.
5, 4, 3, 2, and we're almost coming to an end. Let's take it away with the number one proof, evidence, that indeed Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, was a mighty messenger of God.
So we said the proof. The proof is in the pudding. So we say the fruit of this whole thing. So when we talk about, you know, the testimony of people, when we talk about the message, when we talk about the Quran, when we talk about the moral conduct as he walked the talk of everything. So now what is the outcome? The fruit, this whole thing. Look at it, started with one human being. This whole ummah started with one, Prophet Muhammad, may peace be upon him. It is now 1.5 or 1.7 billion Muslims around the world, saying there's only one God, declaring this, being good, staying away from evil, declaring, enjoining good, forbidding evil, trying to change their life to a better, living their life according to modesty, humbleness, and all these beauty of the teaching of Islam, how to help one another, how to have the humanity being come on a straight path, the unity, the oneness, and regardless of people of color, creed, and faith, you are my brother in humanity, as we mentioned earlier. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala done that. So look at the fruit of this. Look at the fruit of Muslims, and we say that we understand that we're no angels. We're human beings just like everybody else. But I'm talking about those who practice Islam, those who actually live and walk the talk, like Prophet Muhammad, may peace be upon him. When Aisha, may God be pleased with her, when she was asked about how was he, he says he was a walking Quran. So now how it changed the human being. Those who actually used to kill one another are now being bonded. The fruit of that is the Quran and the message of Prophet Muhammad, may peace be upon him. And of course, every history will testify that no migration has taken place without bloodshed. The only migration that did not take bloodshed were the migrants from Mecca that went to Medina for Ansar and help one another. And that's another topic on its own. It's going to take another hour to explain, but I'm not going to go into details. But you see how God Almighty changed, and the message, the fruit for those people that used to kill one another now become bosom buddies. Those who actually used to drink alcohol, fornicate, and marry different women, and all women that wants to have any intimate relations with anyone and claim that child to be that man, now is changed. and restricted certain things, give away the slavery, turning this whole humanity around to be the best of human beings, to be truthful and honest, get rid of away of the usury. And all these moral conducts is the fruit of Islam from the Quran and Sunnah. And that in a nutshell, there's so much to share. But just to give you an example for the 1, 2, 3, and 4, and 5, is the proof is in the pudding. As you will see, those who actually established Islam in their life are the best of human beings accordingly. Even in the Bible mentioned, you will know them from the fruit. And that is the best of teaching of Islam.
Thank you very much. We're out of time.
Pleasure is all
ours. We can go ahead and talk about this for hours and hours. We only had a little bit of time, and you explained it so eloquently. Thank you so much. May Allah, the creator of the heavens and earth, reward you.
You too, Afi. Thank you for having me.
Thank you once again for tuning into the Deen Show. Islam is not about terrifying or terrorizing people. Islam is not what all the hype has been created about to go ahead and establish injustice. Islam is about bringing justice, bringing peace into a human being's life. And you got to hear all these wonderful proofs to provide you, the human being who's searching for the purpose of life. There is a day of judgment, and we all be accountable for what we did on this life. And at the end, there's a paradise and there's a hellfire, and everything has been laid out. The blueprint has been sent with this last and final messenger who was sent to all of mankind as a mercy to the world, as a mercy to the world, that if you follow his teachings, as we said, the same way if you would have followed Jesus' teachings, he was the way, the truth, and the light. But no, in no way did he ever claim that he was God, the Son of God, and all this other stuff. No, they all call people to worship the one God. So when you sit back and you analyze all these proofs with an open mind, a humble heart, you will indeed see that indeed this is from the creator of the heavens and earth. And how you can be successful is by living this truth. And we hope that now that you've gotten to learn more, and you can call the number on the screen, 1-800-662-ISLAM, if you want to accept Islam, if you want to join the family of over 1.5 billion people worldwide. And until next time, peace be unto you.
And if we're going to worship something, I figured I might as well worship the Creator instead of any of the creations.
Now, upon investigating all the religions, I remember finding out the meaning of what Islam is, what a Muslim is. Those who surrender themselves to God is a Muslim. Those who surrender, submit to God, God's will. That is it. Islam was pure. It was just, you just pray to God, your creator.
In the beginning there was nothing but Allah. I am not afraid to stand alone. I am not afraid to stand alone. If Allah is by my side, I am not afraid to stand alone. I am not afraid to stand alone. If Allah is by my side, I am not afraid to stand alone. I am not afraid to stand alone. If Allah is by my side, I am not afraid to stand alone.